My title for the sermon this morning, The Full Assurance of Faith. So as Jude concludes his letter, he writes, "Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God, our Saviour, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion and authority before all time and now and forever. Amen." As we think about these verses this morning, I don't know whether you've read novels or watched movies where there may be an injured child who has lost their parents in a tragic car crash, and in hospital a family member says, "Don't worry, it'll all be okay. Don't worry, it'll all be okay." Will it? How do they know? And when will it all be okay? When facing bullying or workplace rejection or financial collapse or a cancer diagnosis, when battled by mental problems one after the other, people who love and care for us want to give us comfort and they say, "Don't worry, it'll all be okay. You'll get through." Jude is finishing his brief letter to an unknown church or churches, looking initially to encourage them about their common faith. That's what he says in verse 3. He wanted to write to them about their common faith. But finding himself having to write a letter of exhortation and warning to his brothers and sisters in Christ. An exhortation to contend for the faith and a warning about false teachers. As Michael Green wrote in his commentary, it's a hazardous thing to live for Christ in an atmosphere of false teaching and seductive morals. It's a hazardous thing to try and rescue people for the gospel out of such an environment. If you get too near the fire, it will burn you. If you get too near the life stained by indulgent sin, it will defile you. For the believer, as it's been for the church since Jesus, there is danger, rejection, slander, intimidation, verbal persecution, physical persecution, under the relentless assault of Satan. And the believer, we struggle. We fail and suffer the personal cost. It can be bruising, draining and exhausting, even as we're enduring depression or sustained unemployment or terminal sickness and loss. And our Christian family, our brothers and sisters in Christ, will want to comfort us and say, "Don't worry, it'll be okay." Which should really mean to us, "Don't worry, it'll be okay in Jesus." And this is what Jude is saying here in his doxology as he concludes his letter. As he has exhorted his fellow disciples in Christ to contend for the faith, in the context of false, deceptive and destructive teaching, he's exhorted them not to withdraw, but to advance, aware of the dangers, actively abiding in the love of God and mercifully saving with the word of faith. And having said all this, Jude is saying, and no matter the struggle, the hardship, the resistance, in the end, it will be okay in Jesus. Jude is leaving his readers with the full assurance of faith in Christ. And he says, as we look at these verses, firstly, that God will protect you in Christ. God will protect you in Christ. When people seek to comfort us with, don't worry, it'll be okay, there's no sense of how that will happen. There's no time stamp on it. And it's all a bit vague. But when Jude says, now to him, that is to God, that is, if we turn to drop your eyes to verse 25, now to him, to the only God, our Saviour, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, to him who is able to keep you from stumbling. When Jude says this, there is the person through whom this happens, and there is a time frame. It is through Jesus Christ, and a time frame is for the end. To him who is able to keep you from stumbling up until the end, when Christ returns, when the completion of God's plans are finalized through Christ. The one who is able is God, who is unstoppable, whose power and love and grace in Christ is inextinguishable. Nothing will stop God from completing his work in and through Jesus Christ. And he will keep you from stumbling or falling, or falling away to utter ruin. Jude said at the beginning that Christians are called by God and kept, that is, they're watched over for Christ by God. And here he is saying, and earlier on in the verses before, he says, and that though they keep themselves, that is, that they watch, that they stay close to the love of God, keep yourselves in the love of God, as he says in verse 21, the assurance of our faith is that it is God who keeps, that is, who guards us from stumbling and falling completely away from God. These are words, or these have been words of balm to anxious souls in Jude's day. Like those soothing showers when you're completely exhausted and you can stand under a shower and without any pressure to get out, and that warm shower is incredibly comforting. So comforting are the words of Psalm 121 at the beginning, as we read, declaring that the believer, the sojourner to Jerusalem, his trust is completely in God. Jude declares that this comfort that God will keep you from stumbling into a sin or a life that will completely and totally separate you from God. Jude says this will not happen with God. For most of his letter, he's been dealing with those who appear to start with Christ, but stumble down the steps of autonomy and apostasy, with insatiable appetites for immorality and greed, who follow the paths of Cain and Balaam and Korah. But the mature Christian understands, having read that, that in our weakness and frailty, it sometimes seems that we're only one step away from doing the same thing and blowing it all with God. Only a fool thinks that he has no chance of falling into sin. One famous acrobat, Philippe Petet, was rehearsing his routine when he fell 30 feet to a concrete floor. And according to witnesses, he rolled onto his stomach and pounded the floor with his fist, saying, "I can't believe it, I can't believe it. I don't ever fall." Some years ago, a Christian apologist was reflecting on the fall into sin of TV evangelists, into immorality and to tax evasion and greed. And initially, he was filled with anger and indignation, the impact their failure brought to the reputation of Christ and his church. Then his anger changed to sadness, and then sadness changed to fear as he realized that we were all, at some time or another, just one incident away from falling ourselves. It's naive to think that in ourselves we are robust enough to avoid stumbling into sin, even catastrophic sin for our lives. But the wise Christian knows the assault of Satan and the constant tripping and entangling of sin. But the Christian lives each day by faith in the death and resurrection of Christ for their forgiveness and redemption, justification and adoption, for their salvation and eternal life. Even in the midst of difficult company, turbulent thinking and questionable moral standards, the Christian goes on under the guarding protection of God. As the writer of Hebrews wrote, fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, as we loose ourselves from the entanglement of sin. The Christian, the believer, you and I hope, we struggle and succumb to temptation, but we don't try to rebound in our own efforts, in our own ability to overcome all sin in the future. Rather, we go on in faith, having the assurance of our justification in Christ that enables us to stand again and again and go on again and again in the redeeming love and grace of God. We go on in the amazing assurance that Jesus will never let us go. Once God has given us to Christ, we are his forever, and nothing will separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So the assurance of our faith is at the beginning of these two verses. Firstly, upon the protection of God that keeps, that guards us in Christ from stumbling, from falling into utter destruction and eternal ruin. And I don't know about you, brothers and sisters, but that's an immense comfort. For if you know your own heart, we know how susceptible we are to sin. How easy it is we are susceptible to teaching that might just pacify our struggles and the temptations of our hearts here and now. What an immense comfort for us in our weak and imperfect state that it will all be okay in the end, because God will protect us and guard us from stumbling in Christ Jesus our Lord. Is this your great assurance? Well, having begun by saying that God will protect us, he goes on to say that God will prepare you in Christ. Not only will God protect you in Christ, God will prepare you in Christ. As Jude says, now to him who is able to present you blameless or faultless before the presence of his glory with great joy. The word blameless literally means without defect, as with a sacrificial animal. That is, the animal has no blemish. And the word is used of Christ as God's sacrificial lamb, as we read in Hebrews. He was the perfect sacrifice. And to be blameless describes our moral status before God. What Jude promises here is the ultimate goal of life, is it not? And the deep longing of every heart to stand one day in the very presence of God's glory, which is only possible if we are perfect. God cannot tolerate imperfection, sin-staining imperfection. He cannot tolerate it. It is only possible if we are perfect, unblemished, untainted, unstained, unmarked by sin. This has been the longing of every prophet and priest, every psalmist, as sacrifices were carried out year after year. And it's what's been made possible by Christ, as Dave read for us in Hebrews 10. who through his once for all time sacrifice on the cross opened the way to God for all who believe in Jesus, who by his shed blood washed clean the hearts and consciences and bodies of all who hold fast in faith to the perfecting work of Jesus Christ. This should be our great goal of faith, should it not? To be standing before God perfect in Jesus. But sadly and tragically, this exalted promise is often met with apathy and indifference within Christian circles. We should not let our appetite for heaven be satisfied by activities and accomplishments here on earth. Captured by its magnificence, a man walked 700 miles to see Niagara Falls. And when he got close, he heard this roar, or heard its roar. And so he asked a local farmer, "Is that Niagara Falls?" He asked a local farmer. The farmer wasn't sure, for as he said to the man, even though he'd lived so close to this magnificence, he was too busy with life to be concerned with such a spectacle. Brothers and sisters, we should never let our appetite for standing before the very presence of God to be satisfied by activities and accomplishments here on earth. Do you long for the bliss of the perfect presence of God for all eternity, standing before him blameless, in perfect accord with his divine will, spotless, faultless? It will only happen in and through the faith that God gives us in Jesus Christ, as we are washed clean by the blood of Christ, presented perfectly like Christ before God. And as Jude says, to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy. This is accompanied with exuberant joy, our exaltation to God, that we reach the goal of our faith, of our salvation, to stand in the presence of God, perfect and blameless in Christ, is the greatest joy we can know. And God is joyous at the perfect completion of his saving work. And these two realities of blameless perfection and joy are at the heart of our faith. They should be, for they should be ours before they are at the heart of the gospel of Christ. For our great assurance is that God will prepare us for eternity in Christ. So God will protect you in Christ, and God will prepare us in Christ, and then, in verse 25, you will praise God because of Christ. You will praise God because of Christ. Now to him, that is the only God, our Saviour, through Jesus Christ, to him be glory and majesty and dominion and authority before all time and now and forever. To put it simply, the corporate worship and everlasting praise of God will be the eternal privilege of all who through Christ have a share in his good and perfect salvation, who are kept and who are blameless. Dave didn't read the next two verses in that Hebrews reading because I didn't tell him to. But those two verses relate to this, because it says, do not give up meeting together as... Oh, no, sorry, went on. Let me read those for you. The next two verses, he says, let us hold fast, having been told that the way to God has been opened through Christ. The writer of Hebrews says, let us hold fast to the confession of our faith without wavering. For he who promised is faithful, and let us consider how to spur one another on to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. The day of Christ's return, the day when we who through faith in him are ushered into the presence of God forever. God is the one who saves, and our very longing is to be with him. Back in the Old Testament, as Dave read from Hebrews 45, it declares that God is the Saviour of his people and no one else. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit saves his people. On that day which has no end, God will receive the fullness of all the praise that is due his name. Our heartfelt adoration to the one whose power has saved us in and through Christ. There will be praise of his glory as victor, his majesty as king, his dominion as ruler, his authority as Lord. From time past into time eternity. Spontaneous praise is given by us to what or who we value. If we're louder and more excited at the footy or at a great concert than we are in Sunday worship, then where is the heart of our faith? We begin this everlasting praise of God now, which is what the writer of Hebrews is telling us. We've been ushered into the presence of God. Praise him now, here on earth. And if it's not part of our great desire now, then where is our faith located? Jude is encouraging the believers in the churches that he is writing to that the heart of our faith is in God through Christ. And that means that the people of God will be praising people, praising our God, our Saviour, our Lord and King. If someone came up and said to you, "Don't worry, it'll all be okay," do you know that it will all be okay with God through Jesus Christ? As Jude concludes with the word Amen, it's not some glorified full stop, but a declaration of confidence in God that this will happen. Amen means so shall it be. So shall it be that God will protect us in Jesus, for we are secure in his hand. That God will prepare us in Christ, for we are perfected in him. That we will praise God through Jesus because he has saved us in Christ to reveal his glory, his majesty, his dominion and authority for all time. This is the true assurance of faith, gospel faith, faith in the preserving faithfulness of God in and through the redeeming and victorious work and person of Christ. Is this where your faith rests? As false teachers were coming into the church to distort what true faith in God looks like, in Christ looks like, with perversions, Jude is exhorting his people to remain faithful, to stay close to God and his love, to live lives of mercy, holding out salvation in Christ. And then he concludes by reminding them of the full assurance of their faith. Christ is the only living and exalted Saviour and Lord. He is the only way that God has provided to enter his eternal presence. The full assurance of faith is only in our great and glorious God through our ascended and exalted Lord Jesus Christ. I hope and pray that this is your faith in God through Jesus Christ, who will protect you and prepare you so that you can praise him for all eternity. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for these precious words that remind us of the full assurance of faith in Jesus Christ and the concluding work that it speaks of, that through faith in Jesus we will be with you for all eternity, that we will be present in your glory and majesty, that we will see your dominion and authority when our faith is in Jesus Christ alone, not in our works, not in our capacities, not in any merit that we imagine, but wholly and solely in the saving work and person of Jesus Christ. So, Father, keep us in that faith, we pray, and may this full assurance that we have read of this morning be our great joy and hope through our exalted Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. And this we pray in his name. Amen.